Black Indie Cinema is a podcast that finds underrepresented films, including minority, LGBTQ, and classic films. Watch, analyze, and review.
I'm consenting to this is because I wish to clear my name. Not that I care what people think, but enough is enough. And if in the end it helps some other people out, well then that's fine too. I consider myself normal, whatever that means. Some people call me a freak. I hate that word. I don't believe in it. Better yet, I don't believe in labels. But what are you gonna do? In my experiences, I found two types of men. The decent ones.
I know it sounds corny, but if I didn't follow you, I might not ever see you again.
You're right, that does sound corny. And the dogs. I've never seen anybody who liked to look at themselves more than you do. Don't you ever get tired?
Never happened, baby.
No.
What?
No.
What?
No.
What?
Just let me smell it.
It seems that men are taught not to be in touch with themselves, with their true feelings, but the things that they do say.
I'm everything that you need.
You are tripping.
One day you're gonna wake up in this bed and I'm gonna be long gone.
You know, when I woke up this morning, I had a feeling I was gonna have to slice you. You can't ask me first, I asked you.
You never did have enough drive or ambition for me.
It's about control. My body, my mind. Who's gonna own it, them or me? I am not a one-man woman.
Welcome back to Black Indie Cinema. Today we'll be discussing the movie She's Gotta Have It, a movie that was made in 1986 by the director Spike Lee. And the reason why I really wanted to do this movie review is because, like, a lot of people who are interested in films always suggest to watch a Spike Lee movie, and I will be doing that today. So, let me start out with the intro. So, okay, Nola Darling is the main protagonist of the film. She she has, like, different experiences throughout the film, which it requires her to, like, have, like, different lovers or just, like, become very freeing in her own self. Which, you don't really see a lot of movies like that, but I feel like in the 80s, like, they probably definitely had some risque movies, and this movie is one of them. So, like, if you're watching this movie, just be mindful, it's a lot of nudity. You will see, like, different stuff in the film, but overall, the film was really good. I love her intro for the actual trailer, the way, like, she's, finding, like, just, like, liberating her own free will and her own self. And one of the people that she hooks up with is this person called Jamie. And his personality is very mature. Like, you could tell he really wants to build something with her. But Nola she seems like a more of a, like, not a one person, like, not a one person lover. Like, she can't stick to one person, so that's why she, like, goes out and, like, finds these different people. And the second one, his name is Mars, and he's, like, the very lovable nerd type, where he's just, like, he'll say stuff like, I hope I'm doing this right. He'll say stuff like, baby, 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 please, baby, 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 please, I can't do it. But he's funny to me in this film. Like, he's definitely played by, I think, played by the actual film director. So it was pretty funny to see him in it. And the third person that she also hooks up with, his name is Greer. And Greer is, like, the type of, like, if you're, like, going into certain, like, relationships, you'll experience of either dating or dealing with a fuckboy. And Greer is, like, definitely the full definition of what it means to be a fuckboy. Like, he's very narcissistic. He thinks too highly of himself. And Nola, she just, like, you could tell, like, she's not really interested in him, but she's still entertaining him. But the main reason, like, what I really love most about the film is definitely the music selection. They use a lot of jazz music throughout, which it makes it feel, like, kind of noir-esque, but not really noir, but it just has, like, a, like, I feel like when people have, like, really good soundtracks, they're definitely trying to, like, I think for jazz music, they're definitely trying to make people seem like the movie is very either timeless or classic, which I kind of got a vibe from that. And also notice that throughout the whole movie, they use, like, black and white, but I can't understand that because it was funny, like, in the middle of the film, he bought her, like, these actual, like, these shoes that's similar to the movie The Wizard of Oz, where he was on the director. It was kind of funny. He paid homage to that movie. So, like, she was just like, it's no place like home. It's no place like home. And then, like, they take it into a different world, a different time, and then they're celebrating her birthday. It was, like, this huge dance, like, routine that I really love. Like, it turned everything into, like, vibrant colors and hues. And then once the dance was over, they drifted off back into black and white. And I think the reason why the director did that was because I think he was definitely paying homage to that film, or at least, like, just, you know, have, like, a different contrast of using these actual colors for it. And also wanted to talk about, they also had her roommate in the film called Clorinda, I think. And she was basically, like, was living with Nola around the time, but she ended up moving because she said Nola was definitely bringing a whole bunch of guys in. And she wasn't really feeling that, so she left and, you know, got her own place, which I can understand that. But I think the main, like, the whole theme of this film is just being comfortable with expressing yourself fully and freely without being stifled. Like, that gets bogged down on being, you know, what it means to be free, which I can understand, like, but it definitely, like, I can't see why, like, it kind of has some, like, feminist angles, like, oh yeah, this is my body, you know, I can do with like, what I want with it, which is definitely cool, like, but you could tell the guys were definitely getting played, but I kind of don't feel bad for them in this film because, like, they knew, like, she was, like, hooking up with other people while she was, like, with them, so, like, it was even so crazy enough to, like, they had, like, a whole Thanksgiving meal where she invited all the guys that she hooked up with, which I was just like, dang, that's very bold. I said, not a lot of people would do that sort of thing, but it was kind of funny. I was just like, dang, they all sitting at the table, and, like, just, like, the whole vibe and comedy that went along with it was really funny. And also, I wanted to talk about just, like, the different aspects of it. I definitely think, like, just, like, throughout it, it just seems very, like, you could tell, I think this was Spike Lee's first movie that was released, but I might be wrong, but I think that was his first movie. It could show, like, he had, like, a lot of, like, he used a lot of different elements that was, like, learned from other different filmmakers, like, using black and white. And I noticed, like, within the actual film, they use a lot of monologues. Like, for each character that was in the film, they had a monologue, and, like, they're telling who they are as a person and just, like, offering, like, how they felt about the main character, whether it to be, like, good or bad, which I think is a good thing to add that in the film because, like, it's, like, very interesting that he used a lot of monologues because not a lot of filmmakers, like, go, like, into, like, using different characters' monologues, which I was just like, okay, cool. But it definitely did give you, like, a sense of who the character actually is and how they feel about certain situations, which I very much appreciate that within the actual film. So, you know, it was definitely, yeah, I need to slow down. But it was definitely very different from watching that. And towards the, I think towards the end of the movie, the lovers, like the people that she was hooking up with, the guys, like they started to get very antsy. And then they started to feel like, oh, you have to choose me. Which, like, she never, towards the end of the film, she never really did chose, like, who she wanted to be with. But she did choose, like, Jamie. But towards the end, she'll just, like, they were together for a while. And then she started cheating on him again. And then she'll just, like, being in a monogamous relationship is basically, like, slavery. When she compared that, it just, like, I think it offered a new lens on how certain people feel either stifled by monogamy or just how people look into, like, you know, what it means to be free. And you can tell, like, she's not a monogamous person. Some people are not monogamous people, I'm sorry. But it's okay. Like, some people are monogamous and some people are not. I think it's very important to find that distinction. It was really funny that Greer was trying to get her to see, like, a sex therapist, which she did. And even the sex therapist was like, oh, she's a healthy human being. She doesn't have a sex addiction. I guess it's within society when you see women, like, either freeing themselves, like, or just, like, you know, going to hooking up with people and stuff like that, it makes it seem like, oh, they have an illness and stuff like that. But I don't know, like, I feel like if she knows what she's doing, then they're okay with it, you know. But I don't know, because, like, I never been in that situation where I'm juggling three people. But overall, I think this Nola is a very cool character. I think she has, like, a powerful personality that definitely carries the whole film in its own self. And also, the, like, what I'm really noticing that really carries the whole film is just, like, the interpersonal relationships that, like, go on, like, how people interact with each other. Even the women, like, she had, like, a dream where all her, the guys that she was hooking up with, their girlfriends came into the room and then, like, just set her on fire. I might put a small snippet of the clip within the podcast to listen to it, because it's pretty freaking hilarious. I'm just like, okay. Which I can understand, but it's definitely some women, like they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, like, I can understand, like, if they did have, like, other people they're in a relationship with, that's pretty messed up. But I was just like, I was very much, it had some laughs, I had some giggles, and also, like, it definitely showed what it means to be, like, monogamous, and how are you, like, what do you see as, like, a monogamous relationship, or are you investing in doing an open relationship? So I think Spike Lee was just trying to just, you know, get people to question, like, oh, you know, there are other options besides that, or, like, you know, just, like, break the stigma of just, like, being a monogamous relationship. But I think that's what I got from the whole movie. I can say I actually liked it. It was pretty good. It was actually my first time watching a Spike Lee movie, which, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, you never watch a Spike Lee movie? No, I didn't. But, like, I actually really liked it. I might go into some of his other stuff, but I think this will probably be my favorite ones out of his own film, like, his whole film, like, history. But, you know, I have to watch his other stuff. But, yeah, I think this whole film as a whole, it definitely showed his, like, his talent in filmmaking. You could see, like, how he implemented different aspects within the actual film itself. Use, like, different monologues, or just, like, use different camera angles. It just, like, all goes into all the details of, like, how to analyze the actual film, what certain elements that the film director is trying to, like, show to the actual audience is what, you know, really matters. Like, what are they trying to perceive to the person that's actually watching the film. If a film that doesn't enrage you or just like, oh, what are they trying to, like, it's not a good film. Like, it has, some films, like, are meant to provoke you. Like, you're going to be some people who probably watch that film, like, oh, they don't agree with what the main character was actually doing, but could they understand it? Maybe. But I think films in itself is supposed to make you, like, just, like, think of what you're trying to, you know, like, just make you question stuff. And I think this film was definitely questioning a lot of stuff, but I don't know. It was just, I liked the actual film. It was really good. But I'll probably throw in a clip of one of the scenes I was talking about the women. Like, she had a dream that the guys that she was hooking up with, the women, came in and set her on fire. It's pretty funny. But I wanted to thank you for listening to this podcast. Please like and subscribe and follow me on Twitter. My name is Quarnisha Madison, and stay tuned for the next episode, and goodbye.
There goes that homewrecker. Homewrecker.
I know she's trying to steal my man.
No good sleeping around, stank bitch. You know, I don't blame Greer, I blame her. She knew he was mine.
If Nola had loved Jamie, it would have been different.
Love? Oh, come on. She just fucks them and leaves them.
It's sisters like her who are corrupting our men.
The few good ones left. I'll be damned if she takes Mars from me. I'm 4 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm. The decent black men are all taken. The rest are in prison or homos.
I've gone to bed alone too much already. I'm from Brownsville. We don't play that shit.
So what should we do to her?
Let's set the bitch on fire. Your fucking days are over.
Miss Girl will never steal another man again.